All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new podcast. And today's a bit of a different one because one, it's only going to be on audio only. So that's the only place you can listen to this podcast. Two, Luke is still away. I actually don't know where he is. He's somewhere on holiday at the moment. So it is just me bringing you the podcast this week. And we've always said that actually we want to bring you more content. So here we are, post-Azerbaijan Grand Prix. I'm going to give my views on the podcast and what I want you guys to do. If you're listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment, leave us a 5-star rating. We'd really appreciate it. But if you want to get involved, you can also actually follow some of the clips that go out on social media, on TikTok, Instagram, but you can also DM us as well. Let us know what your views are, whether you agree with me, whether you don't. But this is going to be a very short podcast today, but hopefully you enjoy it. Do let us know if you like this format. But Luke will be back next week. Just to say, we are BoxBox Podcast, powered by BoxBox Club. And if you want 30% discount on the BoxBox Ultra annual subscription, click the link. It is great. You can also download it for free as well. Great widget app, and it's actually revolutionized. Did I say that word right? My phone. I use it on my watch as well. It's great. Go and check them out. But yeah, welcome along to the podcast. Let's get into it. So Azerbaijan Grand Prix, what an interesting one. So red flags galore in qualifying. I always find it a bit mad, and this is a bit of a off-topic one, but you know, you watch qualifying, there was the most red flags in qualifying history. I can't remember how many. I think there was like 9, something like that, 7, something like that. I can't quite remember. And there were so many. Coming to the race, what amazes me is how good these drivers are. That I know Oscar Piastri crashed and that, but other than that, no, there was no red flags. There was like one safety car, no red flags. And it just amazes me how good these drivers can make these mistakes in qualifying, but in a 53-lap race or 51-lap race, whichever, they can just make no mistakes. It is mental. And I've always found that fascinating with F1 drivers, in the sense of you look at them and, you know, they make a mistake. They then got to go out and put a really important lap in, and they do it flawless. It is mad how that their mentality, and this is why, you know, they're the best drivers in the world. So yeah, a bit random, but I did find that quite amazing. So let's go through some of the teams today. I won't necessarily go through all of them, but we'll go through a few of them and talk about some of the main topics. Let's start off with Alpine, because look, they finished P18, P19 today. This is a team that is in real turmoil. You know, Colapinto out-qualified Pierre Gasly. They both went out in Q1. But, you know, when you look at that team, I mean, up until Colapinto had that collision with Alex Albon, he was doing okay, but that team wasn't really going anywhere. They didn't really make a stamp. Pierre Gasly recently hasn't looked like the old Pierre Gasly, and that's probably very much down to the car. But the car just isn't working. The team, I don't really know where Alpine are going. And they do look in trouble. That's why they're 10th in the constructors. They're not picking up a great amount of points. But yeah, it's worrying times for Alpine, because, you know, Pierre Gasly has signed a brand new contract. They've obviously invested in him for the future. But look, with Colapinto again, another disappointing day, finishing one lap behind. You know, both cars got lapped today. You know, they're the only two who got lapped. Colapinto P19, Pierre Gasly P18. It is worrying times for Alpine. And obviously this whole move for Colapinto just doesn't seem to have worked. Do let me know. Where do they go from that? Where should we go to next? Aston Martin. Look, Fernando Alonso P15, Lance Stroll P17. This is a... We've said on the podcast many times that Aston Martin, we can't quite work out where they're going. I mean, when you look back at Monza, up until, you know, Alonso's DNF, he looked pretty strong. And that wasn't a track that they were expecting him to look good in. And you come into this weekend and they're pretty much nowhere. I know Fernando Alonso got a 5-second penalty for the jump start. Fair play to him. He came over the radio and said, look, I saw Piastri go. That was my fault. Hands up. That was my error. But, you know, a disappointing day for both Aston Martins. Lance Stroll didn't look anywhere this weekend. And Fernando Alonso, yeah, I mean, he's dragging the most out of that car. But Very, very disappointing weekend for Aston Martin. Kick Sauber. Well, Bortoleto P11, Nico Hülkenberg P16. Again, look, Bortoleto still looks good. And we've said on this podcast many times, Gabriel Bortoleto is impressing us. Like, for his first season, obviously, he's an F2 world champion last year. Coming into this year in a team where I wasn't expecting much. That stake team last year was poor. And I think it wasn't until, what, the last race or the second to last race they picked up a point, their first point. This year, Gabriel Bortoleto's looked decent. He's looked really solid. And I've been really impressed with him. And, you know, P11, just missing out on the points today. Well, when I say missing out, he's like 30 seconds behind Hajar. But, you know, we're not expecting Stake to pick up points every weekend, but they're going in the right direction. I'm excited to see what they can do when they obviously go over to Audi in 2026. They've got some really good members there. Jonathan Wheatley's obviously gone in there. Bonotto, they're really building this team, and they're looking good for the future. But today, yeah, a bit of a nowhere race for them. They're obviously, we saw Hülkenberg in qualifying take off his front wing, cause one of the red flags. But yeah, disappointing weekend for Stake, but I don't think they'll mull over that too much. Haas, Olli Behrmann P12, Ocon P14. I believe Ocon had a puncture early on, which meant he had to do a pit stop after like the first lap. Again, just struggled. Olli Behrmann, he also caused a red flag yesterday in qualifying. Up until that point, he looks quick. This is a driver who has the pace. Again, we've said many times with Haas, they're one of those teams that actually, they'll surprise you one weekend and the next weekend they'll be nowhere. This was one of those weekends. They weren't really anywhere. I don't think they'll be too disheartened. But Olli Behrmann continues to impress me. He really does. He's got a lot of pace in that car, and he's definitely one for the future. And I think, you know, when we've spoken in the past about Olli Behrmann, Luke wasn't too... he was a bit apprehensive about him. But actually, I think we both said on the podcast, we're very impressed with him. We're very impressed. Where should we go next? I know I said at the beginning of this podcast I wasn't going to go through every team, but basically I just am. Let's get on to some of the nice stories of this weekend. Alex Albon, disappointing day yesterday. He did cause one of the red flags. He started at the back, but Carlos Sainz. We've said on this podcast many times, Williams are going in the right direction. I've been really impressed with how James Vowles has gone into that Williams team and really stabilised it. This is a team who for years was dominant. You know, they had Damon Hill, Ayrton Senna, all of these, you know, Jack Villeneuve. They had all these great drivers and they were dominating for a long period of time. And for years of no success for a team like Williams with so much history is disappointing. So when James Vowles went in there, he's really started to stabilize that team, and it's really impressive to see. You know, they've had obviously Alex Albon there over the last couple of years, and obviously they've had Logan Sargeant, Latifi, but what Williams have done by getting Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon as their team pairing is phenomenal. And Carlos Sainz picking up a podium today, he highlighted, and he even said it in his post-race interview, that this was his greatest podium. And I know he's obviously had podiums and wins with Ferrari, and that's obviously very special in itself. But for a team like Williams, who haven't had success in such a long time, I can understand why Carlos Sainz is going, yeah, this means the most. You know, they've gone through so much struggles, and it hasn't been smooth sailing since Carlos Sainz has gone there. But to start to see that success happen and to see him qualify P2 yesterday... Okay, I know some people can say that's circumstantial with certain situations and that, but he still picked up a P2 in qualifying yesterday, which was superb. And to then go on and get a P3 and get on the podium is, I think it's their first podium since 2018, where I think the last one was Lance Stroll, and that was at Baku. So yeah, phenomenal race for Carlos Sainz. They had the pace, and that showed. He didn't look out of place at all today, and... yeah, really impressed with Carlos Sainz's drive. We know what he can do. We've seen him deliver in Ferrari. So, yeah, to see him get on the podium, to see Williams up there again is great. I'm a big fan of Williams. I think, you know, what they're doing, they're building something special. if they can get the 2026 car right, I do think they're going to have a lot more success and a lot more podiums coming their way. So, yeah, James Vowles, Carlos Sainz, Alex Albon and the team are going in the right direction. I've really been impressed with them. And you can see how much it meant to Carlos Sainz they getting that podium. And I think what's also nice is that you've seen the team, the teamwork. You know, when Carlos Sainz was on the podium, you saw Alex Albon there. Celebrating with him, and that's great, you know. And I think what James Vowles has done, and one of the main things he's really implemented within that team, is that the team morale, the team stability, and if they succeed together, they succeed. If they fail together, they fail together. And I think what James Vowles has done is brilliant, and I've been really impressed. So yeah, do let me know what your thoughts are. I mean, I can't imagine there was many people out there who were disappointed with Carlos Sainz on the podium. Well, maybe Kimi Antonelli, because he would have gotten the podium. But yeah, very, very happy for Williams. Yeah, special day for them. So, RBs. Well, what do we say? Isaac Hadjar finishing P10. Liam Lawson, P5. Look, we've given Liam Lawson a bit of... I wouldn't say we've given him a bit of stick. You know, it's been a tough year for Liam Lawson. He lost his seat after two races. He then went back to RB. And when you're going up against Isaac Hadjar, who was performing at such a level that he's already doing in his rookie season, it was always difficult for Liam Lawson. And to see now see him start to look confident again, he looks like he's enjoying driving. He's starting to see that. And you're starting to see that in the race results. And picking up a P5, he was holding off Yuki Tsunoda, Lando Norris and Lewis Hamilton towards the end of the race. And he held off really well without DRS, may I add. So, yeah, really impressive for Liam Lawson. Obviously, picking up a P3 in qualifying, you can see how much it means to the team. And RB, and Luke and I have said this on the podcast, RB are a fantastic team for developing drivers. You've seen that over the years with the likes of Pierre Gasly, Yuki Tsunoda, Isaac Hadjar and Liam Lawson, even before he went to Red Bull. So, yeah, really delighted for RB. They're picking up a P5 today. I think that's his best ever finish for Liam Lawson. So he's looking good. He's looking like he's getting back into the groove and back into the routine. So, yeah, impressed with Liam Lawson. But again, Isaac Hadjar picking up another point. He's very consistent. He's picking up those points. And yeah, it's great to see. Obviously, difficult for qualifying for him. But yeah, overall, I think picking up another point, he'd be relatively happy with that. Where should we go to next? Should we go to Ferrari? Yeah, let's go to Ferrari. Oh, God, what do I say? I tell you what, like, I was excited when Lewis was going to Ferrari. I was buzzing for it, but my God, this season has been tough. And you Ferrari fans who have been Ferrari fans for years, fair play to you, because it is not easy being a Ferrari fan. Lewis Hamilton, P8. Charles Leclerc, P9. Look, this was a race weekend where they looked good in free practice. And you start to think, well, hang on. Lewis Hamilton is looking confident. He's feeling confident. He's speaking really in confidence as well. And you get to qualifying, Lewis Hamilton goes out in Q2, Charles Leclerc crashes, causing a red flag, and they were pretty much nowhere this weekend. I mean, they both went on different strategies, but look, Lewis Hamilton couldn't really catch Lando Norris. He started on the hards. It was just a difficult day for both, and this Ferrari team have to be careful because they were currently P2 in the constructors at the start of this race weekend. They're now third. They're almost, you know, Red Bull were catching. If you've got Max Verstappen and Yuki Tsunoda starting to pick up, you know, if Max Verstappen is winning more and more races and you've got Yuki Tsunoda starting to pick up more points like he did today, then Ferrari could potentially end up finishing fourth this year, which for them would be massively disappointing. And Ferrari, we had a lot of expectations going into this year. I generally thought they'd be challenging for a title. I really did. I thought after last year where they had that great battle with the constructors with McLaren towards the end of the season, finished just missing out, getting P2, I really thought we were coming into this year positive. You know, seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc is getting better and better. But it's just been disappointing. This car is woeful. And if they're not careful, they're going to actually end up finishing P4 in the constructors. And if you're Ferrari, that is embarrassing. especially when you've got a Red Bull who is literally only picking up points from pretty much one driver, and that is Max Verstappen. So yeah, Ferrari got to turn it around very quick. You know, there's a lot of confidence coming into this weekend. I think that's been knocked out of them a bit. So it'd be interesting to see how they deal with in Singapore. But yeah, Ferrari, if they want to get that P2 in the constructors, they're going to have to turn it around very quick. Do let me know what your thoughts are on Ferrari. So let's go to Red Bull. Yuki Tsunoda picking up a P6 today, 8 points. Hasn't picked up many points this year. He was solid. He got into Q3. He looked good. He looked more composed. I mean, he held off Lando Norris really well today. I thought he looked really good. He looked like the old Yuki. And I've always been a big fan of Yuki Tsunoda when he was at RB. I've always liked him. And I always worried about when he went to Red Bull, because thinking that, you know, hang on, this is going to be a bad move for him. And it hasn't worked out. But seeing him this weekend, you started to see glimpses of the old Yuki, which was great. And as I said, picking up a P6, I think you'd generally be happy with that, especially with how his race weekends have been over the last few months. So, yeah, decent for Yuki, good amount of points. But let's get on to Max Verstappen. Look, what do you say about Max? Max just gets better and better. This is a guy who, there is no words for him. He's just solid. Week in, week out. That qualifying yesterday, that lap he did to get pole position was phenomenal. And going into the race weekend, you know, into the race today, he just looked composed. He was never under pressure. He ran his own race. You never barely even saw him on TV. You basically saw the start and then when he actually crossed the line as a winner. But really impressed with Max. And he is carrying that Red Bull team. If it wasn't for Max Verstappen, I'd hate to think where Red Bull really would be in the constructors. But Max Verstappen, phenomenal drive. And it's interesting, isn't it? You know, you go back to 2021, like, I never liked him. I'll be honest with you, I never liked him. But one thing you can never take away was his talent. But I'm starting to like his personality now. Like, and you're starting to see that with the fans' reaction to him. You know, even celebrating today, people's, you know, the celebrations and the cheers for him winning. And you know, look, Max Verstappen is a phenomenal driver, and I know he's third in the championship, and there's a lot of talk that actually he could go on and still win the championship this year, and mathematically, yes, he could. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not, but I would never rule out Max Verstappen. I do think that potentially he could get P2 in the Drivers' Championship, so McLaren do need to be worried about Max. They do need to be worried about Max, and I think Lando needs to be worried about Max, because again, that's two race wins in a row now, and he's looking better, and he's looking better, and he just looks, there's not much more you can say about Max. A very, very good weekend, as he would say, simply lovely. Mercedes, obviously going into this weekend, George Russell hasn't been well at all, but picking up a P2, right, is a very, very decent weekend for George Russell. And we said this last week on the podcast, I don't know what more George Russell needs to do to prove himself for that new contract. Give him a 4 or 5 year deal if you need to. This is a guy who is consistent. This is a guy who you want leading that Mercedes team. I generally do believe that. And it was a very, very good performance from him today, especially as he hasn't been feeling well. You know, to go out there and get a podium, get a P2, great amount of points. And that's obviously him and Kimi Antonelli picking up those points. They leapfrogged them up into P2 in the constructors, I think it is. So yeah, solid weekend for George Russell. Kimi Antonelli as well. You know, that was a very difficult qualifying for him yesterday, but he still went out there and he did a great job. And I know he'd be disappointed not getting Carlos Sainz today, but you know, picking up a P4, 12 points. I've said this on the podcast before, you know, what Kimi Antonelli needs to do from now to the rest of the season is just be consistent. Pick up, you know, some good points. Pick up some P3s, P4s. Be consistent. And then that will build him with confidence heading into 2026. So, yeah, good weekend for Mercedes. Good amount of points as well. They'll be happy with that. They'll be happy with that this weekend. Finally, McLaren. Hopefully you guys aren't bored of me. And I know this is only me talking, so hopefully you're enjoying it. If you are, do let me know. If you're not, also let me know, because then I won't bother doing it if Luke's away in the future. But McLaren, well, what do you say? This was a weekend where Lando Norris had the opportunity to you know, cut down the deficit in the championship. But he didn't do it. And yes, okay, he did in theory with taking off 6 points. But, you know, go to qualifying. Oscar Piastri, it's very rare for us to say this, made a mistake, crashed in Q3. That put him out of qualifying. Then it was an opportunity for Lando Norris to go on and get that, you know, the front row, pole position, P2. He didn't do it. Got a P7. So again, if you're Oscar Piastri, you're looking at that going, phew, like that's lucky. I'll take that. I'll take that heading into the race. You head into the race. First lap. Obviously, Oscar Piastri jump starts it. Then he crashes on the first lap. He's out of the race. Then you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is Lando Norris's chance to really go through the pack, really get some good amount of points. You know, he started the weekend with 31 points behind Oscar Piastri. Realistically, you know, a podium would have been on today, or a P4, a good amount of, you know, 15 or 12 points, a good amount of points. Didn't happen. I know you can say, obviously, he had that slow pit stop, and that did cost him, and I understand that. But, you know, this is a McLaren who's dominated all season, and realistically, he finished, you know, he finished P7 today, 6 points. He should have been either on the podium or a P4 today. Realistically, that is a missed opportunity for Lando Norris, and I do believe that. The deficit in the championship now is by six. It's 25 points still to Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri will be leaving Baku going, do you know what? I got off lucky there. I got off lightly there. I take that. And he will take that. And Lando Norris, this is the opportunity that he needed. He needed these opportunities. He needed to capitalize. And I know people could say, oh, yeah, but he had the slow stop. Yeah, absolutely fine. He mucked up in qualifying. Qualifying was where his issue was, right? Qualifying is what screwed him. He needed the better qualifying. He made a mistake. And this is what I've said about Lando. He makes the mistakes when the pressure really counts. And that cost him. It does cost him. And I know people think that I'm a Lando hater. I'm really not. He seems actually a nice guy, chilled guy. But when it comes to me going, I don't think he's a championship. He's a championship contender. I don't think he has that mentality to go on and win a championship. I just don't. Whether you agree with me or not, do let me know. But this was his opportunity today to go out there and make a real dent in that championship, in that 31-point lead. He's only coming away with 6 points. So I think he'll be very disappointed with that. When you're looking at, right, where am I looking? Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing here. I am trying to get the points for you, but here we go. So Oscar Piastri, 324 points. Lando Norris, 299. So 25 points difference heading into Singapore. Max Verstappen, 255 points. He's catching Lando. Lando's got to be careful because you can't rule out Max. If Max gets a few more wins, he'd be very close. And if Lando Norris has a few of these other races where he's only picking up a P6 or P7, best believe Max Verstappen will be there to capitalize on that. And if Max Verstappen ends up capturing a P2 in the championship this year, there is some serious questions that need to happen in McLaren. Really, because there is no way Max Verstappen should be getting a P2 in the championship this year. George Russell is P4, Charles Leclerc P5, Lewis Hamilton P6. When you're looking at the constructors, this was the opportunity for McLaren to actually, you know, clinch the constructors. It didn't happen. They'll likely do that in Singapore. But McLaren on 623, Mercedes jump up to second with 290, Ferrari are 4 points behind there, and Red Bull 272 points. Don't rule out Red Bull even getting a P2 in the constructors. Williams with that podium today go on to fifth with 101 points. RB's P6, Aston Martin P7, Kicksauber P8, Haas 9th and Alpine 10th. So I want to hear from you guys. Do let me know what your thoughts are on the race. That is the end of the podcast. It's, as I said, it's going to be a quick podcast. Hopefully you have enjoyed it. Do let me know what your views are on it. But yeah, today was the day where Lando Norris needed to capitalize. Unfortunately, he didn't on that occasion. But yeah, is Lando Norris still no favourite? Or is what are you thinking? Oscar Piastri still favourite? For me, it has to be Oscar Piastri. He's coming out of Baku this weekend going, that was a shocking weekend for me. I am human. I do make mistakes. I got off lightly there. Only losing 6 points in the championship. He'll be very, very happy with that. So that is the end of the podcast. We'll be back next week where Luke will be back. And yeah, have a great week and we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah.